Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Sending all our love and all our joy your way. Sing with us.
I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be.
In the right place.
I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul is welcome here. Oh, my soul is welcome here. I am getting the message loud and clear. My soul is welcome here.
We're so glad you're joining us this morning. Yes, we love you.
I am just where I am meant to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I am just where I am meant to be.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul is welcomed here. Oh, my soul is welcomed here. I am getting the message loud and clear. My soul is welcomed here.
I'm getting the message.
Oh, my soul is welcomed here. Oh, my soul is welcomed here. I am getting the message loud and clear. My soul is welcomed here.
I'm getting the message.
I am getting the message loud and clear. My soul is welcomed here.
My soul is welcome.
You can put your hands together.
My soul.
No matter where
is
you are.
Welcomed here.
Yeah.
My soul is welcome, dear.
My soul is
welcome, dear.
No matter what color, culture, sexual orientation, a little color is welcome, dear.
Each week, we've been letting folks know what our basic principles are in unity. In the event someone says, asked you, what does unity stand for? Although we don't have doctrines and dogmas, we do have principles. And so I invite you to share those principles with me today as we say them together. God is absolute good and everywhere present. People are inherently good. Thoughts create our experiences. Prayer and meditation are how we connect with God. We must take action.
Long time ago,
sitting in the garden without a worry, not a care. A thought rose on the horizon. We'd really like to know what makes this world go round. We took the day through our participation in this great creation. Light shines on our good works and some not so. With worries for the future, regrets about the past, each precious present moment, where do they go? Raging waters of emotion, blown by chaos and commotion, spinning thoughts in constant motion. Hold on to the notion, be not afraid. In a world where fear is bought and sold, where too often
important aspect of the work that we've been doing in our community with the coaching of Dr. Gary Simmons is the cue process. And so many of us have done that individually, and we also did it collectively and came up with our collective cue card, some of the triggers that keep us from living in community together with nothing and no one against us. So let's read this now together. Please have compassion for us when we are being not enough, distrusting, grieving, blaming, powerless, and fearful, because this is who we have come here to be, inspired, in integrity, joy-filled, compassionate, unstoppable, generous, and transformational. Let's embody all those beautiful qualities of shadow and light together into our vision statement. Spiritual Life Center is a loving, vibrant family that welcomes home all people and accepts everyone, no exceptions, weaving ancient spiritual traditions with emerging wisdom We cultivate a spiritual deepening with the divine, each other, and our planet. Now let us prepare for meditation with this chant, Showers of Grace.
Showers of grace, endless ocean of joy, pour into you, into me. Washed in pure love, the sacred heart.
As we come into this time of quiet, breathe naturally. Simply be aware of how you relax with each breath. Breathe into the back of your heart. Melt into your seat. Close your eyes. Drift into a light daydream. Turn your awareness to your feet. Imagine that you are sending roots down into the soil. Feel the vibrant energies of the earth as she responds, sending life up through your roots into your trunk. Stretch your arms high into the sky, reaching for the sun. You have many arms. Oh, you are a large, strong tree standing in a quiet forest. It is summer. The sun shines brightly. Your green leaves absorb the warm light, turning it into food. Sap pulses through you. Birds perch and sing on your branches. A summer breeze dances through your leaves. You grow. You sprout new leaves. You are strong and vibrant. You celebrate being alive. Slowly, the quality of light changes, becoming softer. The air becomes cooler. The activity in your trunk and branches begins to slow. Your leaves begin to change color, turning red, orange. You blaze in glory. As each leaf flutters to the ground, you release it with love and thanksgiving for helping to feed and nourish you. The leaves settle around the base of your trunk and begin the process of returning to the soil, where they will again become a part of you. But a few leaves hang on, refusing to go. They hang there, tired and straggly. The quality of light changes again. The sun is not as bright or direct. The softness of autumn light settles in into dusk and dark. The air is almost cold. Storm clouds loom. The storm arrives. Raindrops soak your trunk. Stormy winds whip through your branches, tearing at the last few dry brown leaves. But you are a tree. You simply flex and bow with the wind, waving your branches in the sky. Moving. Allowing. Releasing. As those last leaves fly up and away. And now the storm passes. The air is clear and cold. You are clear and free of old debris and patterns. And now you rest. In the stillness of winter, you give thanks for the vibrancy of your summer life, the release of old used energies, the opportunity to simply rest in a quiet, winter forest, in the silence. Very gradually, the air begins to warm. You start to feel the sun on your trunk and branches. The sap within you quickens. You begin to wake up, become aware of the energies pulsing through your being. You stretch toward the sun, welcoming the light, absorbing the love. You are very much alive and vibrant. Your leaves quiver with joy, and you give thanks for the cycle of life that brings you back to yourself. As you take a breath to re-enter your human body and become aware of the surroundings around you, a soft voice calls to you, saying, "Oh, my beloved, life is a cycle. Everything changes. Those changes are good, even the storms. They cleanse you, allow you to start over, allow you to become who you really are, an expression of the Holy One God who never changes. Remember this, always."
Put one in the air. I tried to dance it away. I tried to change it with my hair. I read my credit card bills up. Thought a new dress would make it better. I tried to work it away, but that just made me even sadder. I tried to keep myself busy. I ran around in circles, think I made myself dizzy. I sexed it away, I slept it away, I read it away. Sometimes I don't want to feel those metal clouds. It's like cranes in the sky. Sometimes I don't want to feel those metal clouds. I tried to run it away. Thought in my head be feeling clearer. I traveled 70 states. Thought moving around make me feel better. I tried to let go my lover. Thought if I was alone then maybe I could recover. Or cry it away, or cry it away. Sometimes I don't want to feel those metal clouds. It's like cranes in the sky. Sometimes I don't want to feel those metal.
I'm sure you're familiar with the statement, may you be blessed to live in interesting times. Well, there's no doubt that we're going through interesting times right now. It's a time that we're going through one of the most significant major paradigm shifts in recent history. In the last few days, I've simply been pondering the question of when the historians write the history of this decade, what are they going to say we did? What do we do this month or this week or next month for that matter? Because we have the choice to get to be the persons and the group of people we want to become. So what is it that we can become? And what do we want to remember for as we go through this major shift that's taking place? We want to do more than just to survive. And of course, survival is the first order of business.
But we also don't want to waste this crisis. Because as the statement goes, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. You know, today I'm talking about the idea of the message to the history makers. And as I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, that often when I come up with these topics or ideas or talk titles, they're done several weeks in advance, so I don't really know what may be going on at the time I actually give the talk. And of course, I had no idea when I came up with this talk title that we were going through what we're going through right now with the pandemic that's taking place. You know, as history makers, we are here to make meaning out of the COVID-19 challenge that we're going through right now. That's because, as it says in the book of Genesis, where we have the ability to name things, that we are meaning-making machines. We get to give meaning to anything that happens in our life, individually and collectively. So we want to determine the meaning of what's happening to us as a planet right now, what's happening to us as individuals right now. You know, as history makers, we want to be seen as those who gave an empowering meaning to the disruption that's taking place on our earth at the moment. You know, we've been given directives by governors and mayors to stay put, to be still. You know, with the stay in shelter or stay at home orders that have been coming down the pike. Unless, of course, you know, we have to go out to do something that's essential. You know, as history makers, we want to be seen as people who use this time to look deep within ourselves, to see what our life is all about. We want to be seen as a group of people who have come to a greater understanding as to who and what we really are. A greater understanding of what our purpose is, a greater understanding of what our life is about. We don't want to be seen as folks who just got caught up in the craziness of the world without us having any growth, no development, no unfoldment, no shifts in habits, no change in our priorities, where we simply stay the same. And so I think the message to us as history makers is that we are here to realize we are emanations or expressions of the Most High God, and that we're loaded and coded for such possibility. And the message to and from us is that we have arrived on earth for such a time as this. We're here to unload those possibilities. We're here to unload that creativity. We're here to unload our gifts so the world changes and becomes better. Because we have made and jumped into this human incarnation that we have right now. You know, I was going through the internet and I ran across a post from an actor and entertainer by the name of Ben Vereen. Now, I think it came from Ben Vereen. I don't know for sure, because I realized that you have to be very careful about what you see on the internet, because not everything on the internet is necessarily true. But even if it's not true, there is some truth in what this post had to say that supposedly came from this actor named Ben Vereen. And he says in part, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but to some of the key parts. He said, if we subscribe to the philosophy that life is always working out for us, that there is an intelligence far greater than humans at work, that all is interconnected. What if this virus is here to help us? To help us to reset, to remember what is truly important. Such things as reconnecting with family and community, reducing travel so that the environment, the skies, the air, our lungs get a break for a while. He notes that parts of China are seeing blue skies and clouds for the first time in forever, with the factories being shut down. Working from home rather than commuting to work, so there's less pollution and more personal time. An invitation to turn inward to a deep meditation, rather than the usual extroverted going out to self-soothe, to reset economically, and to address the lack perhaps of healthcare access for over 30 million people in the United States. There's a shift underway in our society. What if one that is favorable for us? What if this virus is an ally in our evolution? And he goes on to say, perhaps all this is offered as another perspective, another way of relating to the virus, this unfolding, this evolution. It was time for a change. We all knew that. And change has arrived. Well, that's his perspective and looking at it from a higher point of view, perhaps. And we ask, what can we do to be agents of a positive reset that Spirit is pushing us toward? You know, because change often happens either through our pain or through our insight. So I think one of the things that we must do first and foremost is to commune with this presence and then take a fearless inventory and see what is essential. What can we let go of? What no longer serves us? What patterns have we been part of that makes us succumb to all kinds of external and outside, useless and unnecessary activity? What is it that we're doing that's helping us not to be our true selves? Because, you know, we've got to be with ourselves. You know, one of the things about this stay at home or shelter in place stuff is that you get a chance to see if you like being in your own company. Because we're here supposed to be okay with ourselves and not get distracted by mindless activity. We want to be able to discover the wellspring of more good than we can possibly imagine so we can set ourselves free. So when things, well, I was going to say when things go back to normal, but the reality is they're never going to go back to normal. You know, it's almost after 9/11 when airport travel changed forever. There's going to be something different after all of this is over. But when we get back to what is considered the new normal, because the old way is dying. Systems that don't work anymore will fall to the wayside. So something new can be reborn. In this rebirth, we don't want to be the same persons that we were before all of this happened. We want to be lifted up to see a vision of the possibilities of the new structures and the new possibilities that are seeking to emerge right now. We also want to see new possibilities on how we can show up and commune with everyone else on the planet. You know, I don't usually, you know, walk around in the neighborhood that I live because I realize most of the time that, you know, wherever I go, I get in the car and, you know, drive there, you know, get out the car, go to the grocery store, go to different places, you know, entertainment, go to office or wherever the case may be. But lately I decided, you know, to get out, I decided just to walk around the neighborhood and go down streets right nearby that I'd never gone by before. And as I was walking past the neighborhood, I would see other people that I'd never met before. And there was a couple of folks that stopped and we started talking to each other. Now we did maintain the social distance, but we got a chance to connect in a way that I probably never would have done without this having taken place in our life right now when it comes to this COVID-19. And I think we connected and communed with each other in a way that we normally would not have. What if we did that on a global scale? We began to break down the seeming barriers that are between people and countries and the lines that set a separation between parts of the world. You know, perhaps the message to us, perhaps the message from us, as history makers, is that we must deepen our communion with each other, as well as deepen our connection with the presence of the Spirit of the living God. You know, I realized, I was hearing someone say the other day, that we can only commune with something we are similar with, that we are at one with. You know, water and oil, you know, they cannot commune. Even if you shake it up, Once you let it settle, it sits and separates from itself. But we can commune with the presence of God because our life comes out of this presence. So when we're in prayer, when we're in meditation, we're not communing with something that's far off from us or outside of us. We're communing with something that is us. So we're coming into the presence of that which our life is an expression of. We have to commune with this presence every day during this time that we're going through, maybe several times a day, but also we want to set that same kind of connection with those that are our fellow human beings. So we want to take time to connect with that presence. You know, I say every time that we wash our hands, which is something we should be doing all the time. I don't know why we had to be reminded of that, but we should be doing that anyway. But every time we wash our hands, we can take time out to commune with the presence at the same time. As, you know, Brother Lawrence would say, you know, practicing the presence, practicing the connection with this presence. So that not only do we have an external washing, but we also have an internal washing, an internal cleansing. So we glow with the presence all over us. So I believe that the message to and from us as history makers is that we're here to commune with this presence and with each other. Because it's all one. No separation, no otherness anywhere. I think the next part of our message as history makers to and from us is about deepening community. Because I believe community really grants us immunity from the lower frequencies of life, that lower vibration. Realizing it's not just folks coming together in a building for a church that creates community. Community is happening right now all over the internet. Because communities all over the world are really surrounding and uplifting the vibration of spirituality. They're realizing our oneness with each other. Spiritual communities are getting the message out through the technology like never before. You know, here at Spiritual Life Center, Reverend Deb is doing her Wednesday service remotely. We're going to be doing the Thursday meditations as well. We're doing this service remotely. I do a daily meditation at noon to really get us reconnected and centered as we go through this interesting time. I think what we're doing today and what is causing something to happen is that we're bringing heart to the technology. You know, I've mentioned before that the internet is the global brain. It's magnificent. And our task collectively is to bring the global heart along with the global brain. The global heart is a community that uses this technology, uses social media as a way to no longer attack one another, as many people to use it for. But really here, we're here to flood the entire planet with heart, with love, with joy, with understanding, with inspiration, with oneness. This is the message and meaning we want to give during this time that we're going through. So there's communion, there's community, and then of course there is compassion. You know, the Dalai Lama said that those who practice compassion shall be the radicals of the day. It is a high form of love, agape love. It is an understanding of the lack of understanding that we see in other people. So when we see people acting out of sorts, what we're seeing is woundedness. They have fear of their own fear. And sometimes they're using all kinds of defense mechanisms to distract themselves because they're afraid of being afraid, or they're simply acting out of sorts. It is a high form of compassion that we can express when we understand those who don't understand why they do what they do. Our heart becomes open because we realize most people are doing the best they can with what they have and what they know at that moment, and that they're not really expressing their true self, and we hold the higher vision for them. But there's also compassion in which we realize we are here to serve each other, to help help alleviate suffering in some way, shape, or form. You know, I think the interesting thing about this is that it supports our own self-interest. No doubt when we practice compassion, the research and the scientific studies show that our immune system is enhanced. Positive chemicals begin to flow through our body temple, and we stop the aging process from taking place more quickly than it normally would. So if you are compassionate and you're kind, you are also helping yourself. You know, these same studies show that if you witness someone who is helping someone else, if you witness someone else being kind to another person, if you witness someone else assisting another individual, that same thing happens in our body temple. We benefit. Those positive chemicals flow. We slow down the aging process. The system is more balanced within our body. There's coherence around our brain, and we hear inspiration that is happening everywhere, happening cosmically. So the message from us as history makers is that we are moving from the reactionary, instinctive, animal mind part of ourselves. You know, where people go out and they try to grab up all the toilet paper. Yes, you need toilet paper, but you don't need all of it. You can let some of it go. I mean, I actually saw, you know, a film where somebody was actually fighting over toilet paper. One person had a whole basket full and would not release it. We pray for their spiritual vision. Anyway, I think this message from and to us as history makers during this time of change is to engage in greater communion, enhance our community, deepen our compassion. I think when we do all of those things, we tap into an internal guidance that is taking place. We begin living and moving and having our being is in the love of God itself. Right this moment, being broadcast is inspiration. It's everywhere. There's wisdom that's everywhere. There's guidance that's everywhere to help us act in this moment appropriately. But to embrace the next stage of our evolution is also our calling. This moment is calling us. It is knocking and banging and calling our name. They're saying that business as usual has to end. I think in order to catch the next stage of our unfoldment, we have to hear that guidance and know that this guidance is given to everyone, not just to the politicians. They often can't hear it because of their own self-interest, but it's given to everyone. It's given to us, and we have to hear it. And to hear it, we have to get rid of the static that is on the line. We have to get rid of the stress, or we can't hear it. And static is worry. Static is fear. Static is that sense of separation. Static is when our animal mind takes us over and we cannot hear the guidance that says there is something trying to be birthed through you, from you, and as you. This is the message to us as history makers. When you hear it, sometimes it's illogical. It's outside our comfort zone. It's outside of our current paradigm of doing things. But the gift is coming outside of our present way of thinking. But the communion, combined with community, combined with compassion, allows us to hear the inaudible, to see the invisible, so that we are the species that can make the impossible happen based upon the paradigm that we are seeking to have emerge. Some would say this is making a way out of no way. This is what we're called to do. This is the message to us as history makers. I dare say it is already happening. You know, I see it when a doctor comes out of retirement to go to the front lines to care for patients who need help when they could just sit back and protect themselves. I see when the owner of a distillery, a liquor manufacturing company that has closed down, reopens to create hand sanitizer with the alcohol that it has sitting on its shelves. I see it in the small business owner in that same community who had a perfume company but has a garage full of bottles that can be used for her business to use as containers for the sanitizers. I see it in that group of people in Toronto who started a group on Facebook known as the Caremongers, who gather up goods and supplies to people who are vulnerable, who are shut in, who cannot fend for themselves. This was the right and perfect use of the technology and that global brain that is around us today. We're bringing the global heart. We're bringing the creation of something new called caremongering all over the planet. Imagine what would happen if everyone asked, how can I serve? How can I give? We would have circulation rather than hoarding. We would probably birth a brand new and mature economic system. We would probably birth a better way to take care of each other. The message is that we do not want to go back to normal. We want to extend the possibility of something that is trying to emerge that is caremongering among all of us. As history makers, this is our time. As history makers, the message to us, from us, is that we are not here to casually observe history. We are here to participate in its revelation, in its evolution. This is our commission. This is our charge. And this is why we are here. This is how we can make meaning out of what is going on in our world today. We are blessed to be the vessels and the vehicles to help make this happen. Let's go forth and do it. Peace and blessings to you. Well, I want to thank you for being part of this remotely produced Spiritual Life Center experience. I think the universe has given us an opportunity to exercise our creativity muscle to help adapt to these times that we're going through. I'd like to give a special shout out to the Spiritual Life Center's staff, the AV team, Ira Cameron, who also works with our Wednesday service and helped put that together, Celia and Martin Roots Marketing, and those who have simply worked behind the scenes to make this happen. This is an opportunity for you to help us continue to send out these spiritual messages. Our community and our world needs it now more than ever. So I invite you to support Spiritual Life Center with your donation and simply give what you can. And know that it will make a difference and will be and is very much appreciated. It will allow us to support you and others with spiritual nourishment as long as necessary, and we'll do it in this form, whatever we need to do. You can give by texting the words SLC Love to the number 443-21, or you can go to our website, slcworld.org, click the donate tab, and give in other ways, including you can send it by mail. So with that, I invite you to join in and saying an offertory blessing with me. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I circulate. Thank you, God.
On your feet, because the Spirit of God is upon me. Come on, ladies, second slice, hit it.
Oh, the Spirit of God is upon me. Oh, the Spirit of God is upon me.
Oh,
the Spirit of God is upon me.
Let's join together and sing our peace song.
God has created all.
are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.